Save big money on everything for your spring projects at Menards. We have all of your garden and landscaping essentials. Master Garden Premium Garden Soil contains a slow-release fertilizer that feeds gardens for up to 9 months. It produces better results and is ready to use for all your gardening needs. Save big on Menards' great selection of garden and landscaping products. Compare brands in-store or online at Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
On Shill Kill, we pair a crypto with a riveting true crime case, weaving together the worlds of innovation and investigation. Today, we shed light on a groundbreaking project before delving into a dark mystery. Stay curious and ready for more.
Hello and welcome to Shill Kill. I'm Chip Mahoney, and this is my podcast where I pair a crypto and a crime together at the same time in a unique fusion of finance and mystery. And today it's yet another interesting pairing. Speaking of Near Protocol, a top crypto project, and with the true crime, a protocol in a murder case that was totally broken because they had all the DNA you could ever need in a slam dunk case, and yet the person or persons who committed the murder, a brutal murder of a young woman in her Santa Monica apartment, have gotten away with murder for the last 15 years or so. And I've got that for you next here on Shill Kill. Thanks for tuning in. This is the audio version, but if you like video, there's YouTube, there's TikTok and whatnot. Another reason to subscribe, come back for more, because I will have more for you just about every new week. A new crypto paired with a riveting true crime case, a real mystery like I like to do here at Shill Kill, because this podcast is for true crime fans, but also new people in crypto. Curious about crypto, going to have FOMO when Bitcoin's at 100,000 and everybody's doing well. And you don't want to miss out. You have to learn the stuff right now and take advantage of it. And that's what I have for you here at Shill Kill. Therefore, if you know anyone else like yourself who loves true crime and wants to learn about crypto in a non-technical way, well, I think this is the show to share with them. And so come back for more. I will have more for you and anyone else you want to recommend. If you have heard me before, and it wasn't just a drive-by, as I like to say, you're dropping the clip, pulling the crossover SUV back around on me, know that I do appreciate that OG kind of respect. Although I am a DeFi expert, I promise not to fire back on you with a bunch of technical jargon I know you don't need. You just need to know enough about the project to make a sound decision one way or the other. Because in crypto, the main thing is just not to miss out on the opportunity available, and don't miss out what I have for you next about Near Protocol. Near Protocol is a top crypto project. If you head on over to CoinMarketCap, you will find it in the top 20 of all cryptos available. It goes by the ticker symbol Near. Near, but not too far away if you want to invest in it. It's listed on Coinbase and a bunch of other exchanges. And these guys have been around for a few years because, like in dog years, 1 year in crypto is a lot of time. They've been there for a while. They started out in artificial intelligence and then created the Near Protocol blockchain, which is a proof of stake blockchain. And that would be different from something like Bitcoin that's proof of work, where the miners mine the Bitcoin. It takes a lot of time to do that. Proof of stake, you can run thousands, if not tens of thousands of transactions per second in a parallel manner. Sort of like being on a highway with a bunch of cars and they open up the carpool lane and no one sees it and you can take your Tesla and just take off. And that's what they offer, little to no interruption in processing. And it's a very powerful thing. A lot of the best blockchains are proof of stake. So Near Protocol, it's been around for a handful of years now. And I sort of feel that this is another layer of the internet that they are creating, because this thing is like a tool that developers can use to create whatever they want to with their decentralized apps. And I feel that's like another layer to the internet, because when Google first came out, they referred to it as a tool, like a Swiss Army knife, where you could just get whatever you wanted out of it. And I think that's what I see here for Web3 and this other layer. And maybe that's how they see it as well, of what they offer, because this blockchain is for developers to use and create really anything they're trying to create without interruption with building that. And they can just use the Near ecosystem. That's powerful stuff, you know, for creating this Web3 world. We're transitioning from Web2 traditional internet to Web3. And I think Near is a leader in that narrative, at least. Now, when it comes to trading volume, it's in the number four spot on Coinbase, which is pretty good. And if you've heard my episodes before, I've talked about Coinbase as being like the new narrative for crypto, that anything attached to Coinbase, whether Coinbase Ventures or what's listed on their trading site and they're kind of promoting, that's just going to do well. I think they're positioned well, and anything that they support could do really well. So volume wise, it's in the number four spot on Coinbase, but it's on other big exchanges out there in the world. So no matter where you are, looks like you can get Near protocol and add to your bag, as they say. And you're not going to have sticker shock when you go to the exchanges for the first time. Because if you are considering crypto for the first time, then Bitcoin has already been validated by traditional finance. They know what value looks like. That's their business. That's their job. But retail doesn't. So retail is just going to wait for it to be 100,000. They're going to have FOMO. They're going to rush to the exchanges for the first time. That's the worst time to do it. So I suggest doing that now and learning how the exchanges work, but also looking at projects you might be interested in. Something like Near that doesn't have a big sticker shock, but it offers a lot of value, a lot of utility, a lot of value, been around for a while. And if you decide to get it, you can get it on Coinbase or any other exchange, and they have a lot of volume. But again, Coinbase is not in the number one spot. So I don't assume, in my mind, the way I see things, that it's going to do a 10x or a 20x like so many people are chasing, but it could certainly do a 3x or a 5x in this solid bull market that we're approaching, where altcoins could do really well. Anything outside of Bitcoin is called an altcoin. So if that happens, then something like Near Protocol as a top 20 crypto project with a big market cap, a lot of experience, a lot of utility, why not? Why can't it do 3x or 5x or more? Could be that. And I think that's a conservative investment, at least for somebody new in crypto. I'll always recommend quality over quantity, and always do your own research. And that's Near Protocol in a nutshell. Now, in the true crime case that I have for you here, this whodunit, this mystery from the Los Angeles area in Santa Monica, 2008, 2009, this was right around the time that Bitcoin was created and trading for the first time, where you can get it for a few pennies. So that's what the world was like back then. We didn't have blockchain, and we still have the things that we have today, which is jealousy, murder, anger, resentment, all the things that lead to true crime, to murder, and these cases that I talk about. This one is still unsolved. It was solved, but it's still unsolved because the person or the persons who were involved with it were never brought to justice. They tried. They had all the DNA. They had everything that you could want in a slam dunk case. And yet they got rejected. They got thrown off the court. And in the murder of Juliana Redding, a beautiful young woman, 21 years old at the time, 2008, she was brutally murdered inside of her apartment in Santa Monica. All the DNA you could ever want, but still no one sitting in jail today for her murder. And I've got that for you next. Thanks for sticking with me.
The
This is a case about a beautiful young woman with everything to live for, yet her life was snuffed out one tragic night inside of her apartment in a brutal scene that she was not going to escape. But it's also about a man who would not be denied, someone you could not say no to. And yet when he was denied and told no to his face, not once but twice, he put a plan in motion to end her life, putting his henchman on the case, or rather his henchwoman, in something I'll describe. Juliana Redding was beautiful, no doubt. She had moved from Tucson, Arizona in 2005 to the LA area to create and to live her own LA story. You know the setup, the model, the actress, gonna be big overnight. If not overnight, definitely tomorrow. And she was working model jobs here and there, getting paid for being beautiful. Yet she was also earning money by working in a restaurant, which is also typical of the LA area. Everybody's going to be big overnight, but they're working in the restaurants. And that's when he laid eyes on her, because she didn't lay eyes on him. That's not how it works. He laid eyes on her first, and he was targeting her from the get-go. He slid into her life, something like today we would call sliding into someone's DMs. He did that in real life. And soon she was working for him in his medical practice. He wanted to offer her everything. And in fact, later on, he would tell her father, "I can give your daughter the world." Well, last time I heard that, that was the devil himself who said, "I can give you the world and everything in it if you bow down and worship me." This guy worshiped himself. He thought very highly of himself. He thought he was a 50 million guy, a 100 million guy, when in fact, he was probably in the $1 to $2 million range. He had a lot of money, but he owed a lot as well. And in fact, he stole a lot for his business. He stole a machine for his medical practice that was worth $1 million, didn't pay that bill because he just thought people owed him just because of who he was. He liked to collect things, and I think he was collecting Juliana. I think she wanted these things, of course, but when it came to being possessed by someone who you could not say no to, I think that really bothered her. There was another guy in her life, a younger guy, more appropriate for her age, but he didn't have the lifestyle. He didn't have the things that she really wanted. And they fought back and forth. And when cops discovered her body, they really kind of turned to the boyfriend and thought that this guy could be the suspect. But it was such a brutal scene, such a horrific scene, that something else was going on here. Now, when the police opened her door to discover her body at her apartment, there was such a strong odor of gas that they had to clear the place. The place was about to explode, but good thing it didn't. The gas wasn't so concentrated because the building was very old, so it kind of dissipated. But that's what the killer or killers had planned to do. As soon as you open the door, it's going to blow up her place, blow up the building. They didn't care who got killed. They just wanted to destroy the body, destroy all the evidence. There was the body, the brutal scene, and then there was the DNA that was virtually everywhere. On the doorknob, on a plate in the kitchen sink, on Juliana's neck, mixed with her own DNA because she was grabbing at her neck as well to try and release the grip of someone else's hands. So it was all over the place, but it was unknown. It did not lead back to Manir. And Manir was the guy who was stalking her, who had laid eyes on her, who had targeted her, but she ended up telling him no to his face, because later on it was revealed that Manir had a wife and had three children in another country. Juliana's father let her know about this when he found out, because he was kind of tight with Manir as well. They were kind of in the same field of work, and in fact they were doing a business deal together, something that was supposed to happen. But Juliana told Manir no to his face, that she ended the quote-unquote relationship. It was really more like he's the sugar daddy and she's taking advantage of what he offers. Kind of a business deal in itself. But she said no to his face, that he lied to her, and that was it. And the business deal that her father had in the works with Manir went south as well. 3 days later, Juliana was murdered. Did that have something to do with it? Well, Menhir was not somebody the cops could work with because the DNA was everywhere, but it didn't lead back to him. It was unknown. So they had to do their own dirty work. They had to follow him and look at his life more closely because the younger boyfriend, he didn't have anything to do with it. It turned out that the cops learned that Menhir had a henchman, or rather a henchwoman, someone who was involved in his dirty dealings, someone who would intimidate people in real estate, other women Menhir was doing business with, to agree to his terms. She was very intimidating. Her name was Kelly Sue Park. She's about 6 feet tall. She had worked for Menhir for a long time, paying her 10 grand a month to do whatever, and she did it. Very intimidating person, was known as a vixen or an enforcer. And in fact, he said that she was his own James Bond girl. Cops put a tail on Kelly Sue Park, and eventually they were able to recover a discarded cigarette butt that she had left behind. And they took that DNA and matched it up with the DNA inside of Juliana's apartment that was everywhere. Kelly Sue was at the front door. She was inside the apartment. She was at the kitchen sink. She was by the gas range, and she had her hands around the throat of Juliana. But why was she there? Because Juliana had never met her before. She had never met her, never heard about her. Because remember, Menhir had even kept his marriage and his children secret from her. So how did she get there? Was Menhir at the front door trying to reconcile with Juliana, or at least making it look like that? Because he had been stalking the place, driving to and fro. And now, was he at the front door? And was Kelly there right behind him? Did she slide in the front door, just like Menhir had slid into Juliana's life? Did she slide into the model's apartment and attack her? It's what I think happened. I think that two people were inside and Kelly did the dirty work. But it doesn't really matter what I think, because a jury disagreed with me and disagreed with just about everybody else, and they acquitted Kelly Sue Park of murder around 2013. And to this day, no one is held accountable for this murder. And maybe something like Menhir protocol can be a helpful tool in a situation like this, in true crime, in tracking evidence. Because remember I said that they had a parallel aspect to it, to where when you're driving on a highway, there's a bunch of cars and then the carpool lanes open up and you can just take off. That's what they do. They have a thing called nightshade that allows for that, which is a sharding technology. And that just makes it so things are more efficient in the blockchain and things can run smooth and they can run fast. But it also protects privacy, private information on a database that could be shared with the right people who are investigating, the right people in legal who are taking this to trial, to make sure that everything is immutable, that there are no chances at all for an acquittal in a murder that says Kelly Sue Park committed it.
Don't forget to subscribe and join us again as we uncover the fascinating connection between two seemingly disparate worlds. Until next time.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.